Hi, my name's Aaron.
And I've been around the block a couple times.
I've been a liar, a thief, a charlatan, homeless, arrested, beaten the shit out of, hero, villain.
I've done some drugs.
Fan, local celebrity, badass, a complete pussy.
I've been a real whore, like a real one.
An idiot, a fool, I've been stupid. This is Stupided. These are the stories about dumb stuff I've done, and I'm telling you these mistakes so you don't have to make them. This is Stupided.
This is my version of events. I change the names and sometimes the dates, but the stories are 100% factual. Some of them I wish weren't. Today, the top three arrests. Yes, I've been arrested. Hey, you know, 30% of all Americans have, and it's even higher if you're male, higher still if you're brown, and I get to be all three and wearing handcuffs. If you've ever been arrested, you know it's not the most fun you could have in the back of a car. These are the accounts of my top three times I've ever been nabbed by the fuzz, caught by Johnny Law, taken in with extreme prejudice. That's enough? All right. Top three arrests. Number three. Summer, 1999. So the summer that gas was 99 cents, my friend Jackson and I took a cross-country trip in a stolen car, and it was the adventure of a lifetime. By the way, this isn't that story. I mean, did you hear the intro? This is clearly the story of how that story ended. Dehoy. So we're on our way back from the East Coast, and we're approaching Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We arrive in the city about 7 p.m., and we see these cop cars like everywhere when we first come into town. Most people forget after 9/11, but Oklahoma City at the time was recovering from a terrorist attack just a few years earlier. Now, we were out of money, and we were completely out of options. So after a lot of distress, a little bit of crying, and some brainstorming sessions that left us somewhere between prostitution and armed robbery, I called my dad for help. Now, the only way he would help us, he said, is if we turned ourselves in. So after hanging up the payphone, my crocodile tears turned to a big smile, because I thought getting arrested kind of sounded like it would be a blast. But surprisingly, not as easy as it sounds. So by now, it's like after 10 p.m. on a Tuesday. The streets had no people at all, let alone police. So we drive to the main part of town, and we're doing donuts in like 16 and 32 lane intersections. We're driving through bushes and garbage cans. We're taking out some fireworks we picked up in New Mexico, and we're throwing them lit into truck beds and car windows as we pass, but nothing. So we finally stop at this a convenience store. It's like a Circle K, but I don't think it was a Circle K. And we asked them for directions. This was back before Google, and so the clerk needed an actual phone book to tell me where the closest police station was. So he turns around to look for this phone book, and I reach up behind the counter, and even though those giant hanging things full of cigarettes up behind the counter, I reach up, I take about 5 or 6 pack of cigarettes, throw them in my pocket real quick, and I figured, hey, this would probably only help me in my quest to get arrested, or I'll have cigarettes. So, I mean, win-win for me. I get out back to the car, I start chain smoking immediately, and I rattle off some directions the clerk gave me to Jackson.
You know, I change these people's now, names, right?
He asked where I got the cigarettes, and I told him. And even though normally he chided me for smoking, he actually seemed pretty pleased with it. And he's like, fuck, I wish I thought of that. I would have gone in with you. We could have got more stuff. So we finally find a police station, and we attempt to turn ourselves in, but we can't do that because it turns out we are not wanted for anything. So, sounded just like every ex-girlfriend I've ever had. Anyway, we'd broken a litany of laws that no one seemed to notice. Beyond that, I was only 17, and they didn't seem to know what I was even doing out that late. They did, however, seem willing to find something to charge Jackson with.
Not his real name.
As an adult, I realized that that's due to his skin tone, but back then I did not think anything of it. Finally, an officer comes in, and he exclaims that there's a car in the parking lot with Arizona plates. He's, like, all excited. He's like, I ran the plates. Oh, my gosh, the car is stolen. And, you know, Jackson and I look at each other like, duh, that's our car. And they finally realize that they can arrest us for something. So we get cuffed up, thrown in the back of the car. And we decide that we're just going to have fun with it. We're asking the guy to turn on the lights, the sirens. We're singing "Fuck the Police."
With a little bit of gold.
Generally, we're just being complete assholes. We pull it to a church. They take Jackson out of the car.
Real name.
Now we are completely shocked to be separated because, first off, we thought we were going to the same place. They didn't tell us any different. Secondly, we've been spending every single second together for the past like 11 days. I later find out that the place they take him to is a homeless shelter called the Jesus House. I don't see him until we're back in Arizona. But from what he told me, it was not great. And he actually had ended up calling his mom and having her send him money to get a bus ticket home. Which kind of sucks. Meanwhile, I get taken to like a psych ward type place. They take all my cigarettes. They take my rolling papers. They take my belt, my socks, my jewelry. They take my shoelaces. An officer asks me, "Have you ever had any suicidal thoughts?" And I tell him, "I'm a fucking teenager in America. What the fuck do you think?" This is a place clearly for adults, and they don't seem to have any place to keep me as a minor. So eventually, they assign an officer to watch me, and they let me sleep on a gym mat in some common area with linoleum floors. I fall asleep crying while the officer stands 5 feet away staring at me. Now, the next morning, they come and they take me to a juvenile halfway house. I do escape that halfway house, but end up returning to it before my dad ends up coming to get me a few days later. Why it's number three. While it was a harrowing situation, for sure, it wasn't the worst. It was really scary, but it was more emotionally scary than like life-ending scary. Early 2002. When you're a 19-year-old guy, bathroom. You gotta have your own car.
It's number two.
A smooth ride. Mine was a 1988 Nissan 300Z. It was white with a maroon hood. It had all digital dash. It had a badass T-top on it. And it only worked for like the first 3 months that I owned it. After that, it was just a fucking paperweight. So when my friend Jimmy's cousin offered to trade me a running truck for a non-running car, I was all in. Now, this truck was a piece of shit too. It was a 1970 something Ford, the color of chip paint and Bondo. It did start though, and it ran, so those two things made it streets ahead of any other vehicle in my life at the time. So Jimmy's cousin had gotten the car through some kind of a strange bylaw. He worked part-time at Home Depot, and this truck had been abandoned in the Home Depot parking lot after so long. I think he said it was like 90 days or something. It was a property of that Home Depot. And since the keys were in it, the boss just let him have it. You know, I haven't thought about that story in a long time, but looking back now, that story sounds like complete bullshit. This is what he told me at the time, and I bought it. But I got to tell you, at the time, I really didn't care about the story. I kind of felt like he was a sucker for making this trade. As I was leaving, he tells me, "Oh, the gasket doesn't work, by the way, but the odometer does, and it gets about 15 to 20 miles per gallon." So I say, "Well, how many gallons are in it?" And he's like, "How the fuck should I know?" So I guess ask a stupid question. I drive home. Everything's cool. The next day, I go out. I'm trying to hustle up some money. And on the drive home, the engine starts to go clunk, 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 clunk. Before long, I'm stranded on the side of a freeway. So I get out. I walk to the nearest gas station, and I don't have a gas can, so I buy a gallon of water, and I just drink as much as I can, and then just dump the rest of it out, and I fill it up with gas. I know now that that is illegal. I also know now that that is super unsafe, but whatever. I only need a gallon just so I can make it back to the gas station. So I make it back to the truck. I fill up the tank. I throw the jug in the bed, and just as I'm about to get in the truck, a highway safety officer pulls up behind me. These are cars, you know, they're not real cops. They just have those yellow flashing lights. It's like they're just there for safety. I do hear sirens coming in the distance, but I don't know if I can just drive away from this guy, or if that's going to like alert somebody. So I wave at him, you know, he gets out of the car. He's talking on a walkie talkie and he just stands behind his open door talking and like staring at me. So I yell at him, "Hey, I was just out of gas. He doesn't have any response, so I just figure that he can't hear me. I yell louder. I'm like, hey, I was just... And then, boom, almost from out of nowhere, there are these three cop cars. There's one on the on-ramp behind me. There's two on the freeway in front of me. All of them have full lights going on. These cops pop out with their fucking guns drawn. They're like, get on the fucking ground. They're yelling at me. I'm like, oh, shit. They're like, get on the fucking ground. I'm reluctant at first, but I do comply just out of sheer fear. I'm locked up. I'm thrown in the back of the car. They go through my bag, and they find some tools that I have, and they ask if I'm a terrorist. Now, I am wearing a shiny, loose blue, and I mean blue-colored pair of jeans, like Superman blue, a white belt, white shoes. I'm wearing a white and blue ringer tee with a very large picture of Captain America waving the flag on it. They asked me if I was a terrorist, because this is what they did to brown people in early 2002. And to be honest, I wasn't even offended at the time. So it turns out that the reason for the felony stop is that the car had been reported stolen. So I spent the day in jail. And when I had my day in court, Jimmy's cousin did not show up,
people's names, despite
promising me the night before. I later found out that he was worried he would be arrested for child support violations, and that's why he was scared of the court. Now, lucky for me, all the charges were dropped. We suspect that what happened is the owner was an illegal alien, so he was scared to go to court, too. So, turns out, just by showing up for court, I got off scot-free. Pretty great day in court for me. Wyatt's number two. You know, this was scary as hell, to be honest. I'm not afraid to admit, I almost beat myself. Plus, it was my first time in real jail, so I was worried about stuff like when I get out, how long it would take. Plus, I also felt like I was in the right the whole time. Unlike other situations where I might have done something wrong, in this case, I mean, it was all just a big mistake, officer. It was just a big mistake. Do you have a suggestion for us? Comments? Concerns? Is there a story you want to hear? Or submit your own at stupidipodcast@gmail.com. stupidipodcast@gmail.com. Number one.
Late 2003.
Number one. I woke up at 2 p.m. and proceeded to smoke weed. I had nothing to do that day except for a work event that evening at a bowling alley that just happened to be right next door to my apartment complex. So at approximately 6 p.m., my manager and current love interest come over, and we fuck and do cocaine for the next few hours. You can probably already see why this is the number one story. Beyond that, you can probably already see where this is all going to go wrong, especially if you've ever done cocaine. So after all this, we decide it is a good idea to go to this work event. So we walk in, and I'm walking on clouds like the whole time. I have a reputation as like a bad boy type. So this kind of thing doesn't really hurt that shit at all. I don't really remember how long we were there before it happened. If I was measuring in beer, it would be two small pitchers. If I'm measuring it in trips to the bathroom, though, it's only one. See, I did think to bring a small amount of Coke with me to stay buzzed, but I was so judicious in taking some from my stash that I just didn't bring enough. So we're bowling or whatever, and this guy, Jerry, runs in at full speed. Oh, by the way, Jerry, he's my coke dealer.
Names have been changed.
He has a twin brother, and they have rhyming names. They both work with us, but his twin isn't there, and this dude is completely freaked out. So I just had an accident. He's running in. He has like a small cut on his forehead. I'm pretty out of it, and I scold him for leaving the scene of a car accident. He's a bad dude. He's not the type of guy that I would normally give shit to, but what the fuck, right? I was really on one at the time. He explains to me that he had already been arrested for drunk driving twice in the past month. And if it happens one more time, he's going to get an aggravated DUI, and he's going to go to jail. For real. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, where does he keep getting these cars from? But anyway, someone yells that the cops are here, and real quick, he like brings me into the bathroom. He's like, here, take this, he says, and he hands me a large baggie of cocaine. This was that moment. Now, I've been raised by sitcoms, just like every other American, and I know what happens here. I know that you aren't supposed to hold drugs for your friend. I know that someone's going to find them and that you're going to get blamed. I know that your mom's going to go through your pockets when she's doing your laundry. Or, you know, it's going to accidentally fall out of your bag. I've seen Family Matters. You know what I'm saying? I've seen Full House. I've seen
pretty much all of TGIF.
I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot, man, of sitcoms. I really thought that if he got arrested, I could just do the rest of cocaine and then tell him that I flushed it. I mean, how would he even know? More cocaine for me. So I put it in my pocket. And as we left the bathroom, the cops pulled him away almost immediately. A lot of what happens next is kind of messed up. People tell me that I acted really belligerently, that I was goading the cops. I was all on them about how I know my rights and blah, 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 blah. I don't remember it exactly like that. I do remember kind of being an asshole. I definitely remember my girlfriend trying to calm me down. She pulls me aside. She puts her hand on my dick, and it's all I was focused on when suddenly I hear a cop say, "Hey, you, get over here. Get over here." You know? So this cop motions me over. He's about 10 feet in front of me, and about 10 feet in front of him is the door. So he curls his finger. I start to go to him. But once he sees I'm following, he turns and he starts to head for that door because I guess they're taking statements outside. So as we're walking there, I'm still a good 10 feet behind him. Something sets off the automatic door, and I see as the door is open, they have dogs. Fucking police dogs. If you've ever seen any movie made since 1970, you know that police dogs will find your cocaine pretty damn quickly. So I reach in my pocket, I grab the bag of cocaine, and I try to keep my stride the whole time because I don't want to alert this cop to let him know that anything's going on. There is a garbage can I see along the way, but I would have to take about 4 steps or so to my right. So I start to make my way. I'm still keeping pace. I'm still well behind him. And once I'm about 2 steps off to my right, the cop starts to notice. And, you know, he probably thinks I'm going to rabbit. To the far right, I mean, 50 feet away, there is an exit. And if I were to make it to that exit, I would be one fence hop from freedom in my apartment since I live right next door to the bowling alley. You know, the cop, yeah, really not far off. I was thinking about it. Maybe I could rabbit. But I know I can't do that. I mean, these are my coworkers, and it only takes one of them to be a dirty fucking snitch. You know I change these people's names, right? So I take one more step to my right, and the cop stops completely, and I'm like, fuck. I decide to go for it. I take it out of my pocket, and suddenly it's like everything around me is happening in slow motion. He turns his head towards me, and without looking, I like gently toss his bag into the trash. And he yells, "Hey!" And I could tell that he saw it. So I turn my head, and I'm watching this bag fly through the air. And it just suddenly misses. It misses. No. I fucking missed. It was tragic. It was embarrassing. I hear my girlfriend behind me like, "Fuck!" So minutes later, I'm up against a police car. They go through my pockets. They also find the little baggie I had from earlier, plus a little baggie I happen to have from another time. And they say, "Hey, this is intended to distribute." Now, because this is the west side of Phoenix, they are 100% sure this meth. And so they book me, and then they test it. And once they test it and find out that it really is cocaine, the officers start calling me old school. I spend the night in jail. And the next day, I went to my boss, and I begged not to be fired. I explained to the owner that it was the other dude's drugs, and I was just trying to help a friend and blah, 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 blah. He must have not seen any sitcoms because it was pretty standard pablum that
I knew that.
The same stuff that those main characters that they said in those very special episodes that we discussed earlier. I took a drug diversion deal. Yeah, I had random UAs for the next 2 years, but it was really only 1 year because once I paid my fine, my random color, that shit never came up again. Why it's number one. Sex, drugs, and bowling or something. I mean, this was a life-changing moment. I was really at a point in my life where I was just going off the rails and I was doing way too much. It was a really good experience to learn and to grow. I don't want to say change because who knows if that even happened, but I definitely learned a lot like, don't go to a work event if you've been doing cocaine all day. Questions, comments, concerns, real concerns, deep concerns, burning concerns. Why don't you go ahead and email me here? StupidIdPodcast@gmail.com. 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 What was that? What? StupidIdPodcast@gmail.com.